Lexicon. Providence is the word we use to describe God's preserving, upholding, and governing of His creation. God sustains His creation day to day through ordinary means established at the beginning of time, and He intervenes in miraculous ways. In all things, God is working for His glory and for the good of those who love Him. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And we are back to Witness Wednesday on Wretched Radio. I'm Jimmy Hicks, and we are still at the campus of Oklahoma State University. Todd is talking about deconstruction. Let's get back out to the campus now. It's a Witness Wednesday on Wretched Radio.
If you're just looking for a mechanism, some way to undermine the book of authority over the Christian religion, well, you're going to find it and you're going to believe what internet videos say about mistakes in the Bible. But I would encourage you and challenge you with an open mind. Look at the explanations, and what you're going to discover is the Bible doesn't have errors. And furthermore, it is axiomatic, meaning it proves itself. Just as if I said, the president lives in the White House. And you say, I don't think you're telling the truth. I think that's an error. What could I do to prove it to you? Well, we could fly to Washington, D.C. I would take you to 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. I'd walk up to the White House. We'd look in the windows. Oh, there's the president. Look at that. I just proved it. By looking into the windows of the White House, it proved my statement that the president lives in the White House. Same thing is true with the Bible. You look in its pages and you will see that it proves itself. Prophetic accuracy, didactic profundity. No book speaks like it. And the Bible matches reality. It explains what is really real. It's in alignment with our greatest needs. It answers all of the big questions. And so to the individual who would say, I'm going to deconstruct Christianity or reject it because of mistakes, I would simply challenge you with an open mind. Read those defenses of the veracity of the Bible, and then read the Bible itself. And you'll discover it is actually divinely inspired. So those are the biggies that I think people use to deconstruct evangelical Christianity. But I think that there's other reasons. And these might be the biggies for a lot of people, especially for those who made some sort of profession of faith as a kid. They went to university, they took a moral header, and so they look for a way to deconstruct the faith. I would say the reason that they're deconstructing the faith is because it wasn't actually the genuine faith. In Christianity, there's a lot of false gospels. There's a lot of false presentations of what Christianity is. And there's a lot of churches that, for instance, would say that you've got a God-shaped hole in your heart. Only Jesus can fill it. You've tried sex, drugs, rock and roll. It didn't satisfy you. So try Jesus and He's going to make you happy. So what do so many people do? Well, they try Jesus. They ask Him into their heart. And they really try to be moral and good and behave, but then something goes sour. They either sin big time, they're feeling trashed and guilty and shameful, or they lose a loved one and they become bitter. Hey, God, what's up? I've been obedient. I've been doing good. And now you return the favor with doing this to me, and they deconstruct and they walk away from the faith. Why? Because they never really understood the true gospel. And this is what I'd like to leave ringing in your ears before we go to Q&A. The gospel of Jesus Christ is probably not what you have imagined it to be. The gospel of Jesus Christ is so much better than a prosperity gospel, which is no gospel at all, a life enhancement gospel that's no gospel at all, a work righteous gospel that is no gospel at all. The gospel, the essence of the gospel, is the best thing in the universe. The best thing in the universe is God Himself. How do we know what God is like? Well, you can read about Him in the Bible, but you can see Him in the person and the work of Jesus Christ, who's the exact representation of the invisible God. You want to know what God is like? You got to look at Jesus. That's what God is like. So what is God like? Jesus Christ, who is the second person of the Trinity, God Himself, fully God, He came and He was born in the dumpiest town to poor parents living in poor accommodations with a genealogy that contained two prostitutes and a bunch of other scandalous characters. But he didn't mind. Why? Because the King of Heaven is not afraid to associate with the lowly. And so he stooped low to come to this planet and never sin, live a life of righteousness. And for his efforts, the religious leaders didn't like him because he exposed them. He told them the truth and it bugged them. And here was the truth. God doesn't want religion. God doesn't want you to just go about some external conformities, doing some sort of religious practices, and then act any way that you want to. He doesn't want that. Jesus wants your heart. He wants you. And to claim it and to buy you, he came and he lived a perfect life, died on a cross. What was he doing? You know all of those sins that you've committed before this evening? And maybe even as we've been sitting here? The wrath that you deserve was being poured out on his son. In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and gave his son as a propitiation for our sins. Did you catch that line? In this is love. Do you want to know what love is? Do you want to know what actual love is? The world says love is living any way that you want to. The world says have free sex, free love. No, in this is love, that God himself died for you, a sinner, so that you can be justified. You've got a rap sheet that is a mile long, just like mine, dishonoring parents, sexual thoughts, sexual activities, perhaps, murder in the heart when you're unjustly angry at somebody, desiring things that don't belong to you. Are any of us here not a guilty criminal? But Jesus Christ has a resume of righteousness. So when Jesus went to the cross, he was absorbing the wrath that you deserve. In other words, it was the great exchange in which you give Jesus Christ your rap sheet, and in exchange, he gives you his resume. So that you're not just seen as forgiven, you're seen as the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. So in other words, God doesn't look at you and go, okay, fine, I'll let you in here, but man, I'm gonna have to hold my nose around you because you are really nasty. Nope, that's not the way Christianity works. You're forgiven by Jesus Christ. It's the doctrine of justification, but that doctrine of justification serves a greater purpose. And this is probably the aspect of the gospel most of you have never heard, that the doctrine of justification, as wonderful it is that your sins are completely forgiven, it serves a greater goal. And that goal is to take you, dirty, filthy, sinful, shameful, clean you up. For what purpose? So that Jesus can take you and present you to the Father, so that you can have 24/7 access to the God who wants to know you. We study a lot about God, and that is good and that is right. But don't forget to remember that God actually, if you will, studies you. He wants a relationship with you. The God of the universe actually wants you in his presence. Why? Because he is good and he wants you to enjoy the best thing there is. And the best thing there is God himself. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. Is it about rules? Sure, there's rule keeping. Yeah, of course there is. But that's not its primary emphasis. The primary emphasis is that bad people can be made good and right in the sight of God so that we can be in a relationship with the Creator who desires to be in a relationship with us. There is no other king like this. What king actually knows the name of all of his servants? I'll tell you what king, King Jesus. What king actually desires to spend time with the servants? Well, that would be King Jesus. What king actually serves the servants? There's a fascinating parable in Luke chapter 12. It describes the wedding feast, the banquet of the Lamb of God. When God brings everything together in the culmination of human history, he's going to gather together everybody who's a Christian. The Father's going to gather them together to present them to the Son as a gift. It's called the church. Jesus, 1 Corinthians 15, takes the church, presents it back to the Father and says, no, Father, this is for you that you might be all in all. That's the culmination of human history, by the way. You're going to be in it one way or another. Now, the Bible says there's going to be a banquet, the wedding feast of the Lamb, when Jesus is now with all of his brothers and sisters. And Luke 12 says that the waiter at the banquet is Jesus Christ. The chef of the banquet is Jesus Christ. I want you to imagine this for a moment. Whatever you envision heaven to be like, it's a great big banquet hall. You walk in, it's luxurious, it's glamorous, it's with pearls, whatever, gold, whatever you think that it is. But there's a table unlike anything that you've ever seen, and somebody ushers you to your seat. That maitre d' is Jesus Christ himself, who pulls your chair out for you, sits you down, perhaps folds your napkin on your lap gently, and then goes to get the meal that he's prepared to bring it to you to serve you. What kind of a king does that? The answer is King Jesus Christ. That's the gospel. Why should you become a Christian? Is it because you're afraid of hell? Well, you should be afraid of hell, but that shouldn't be the primary motivator.
And one more interruption. We'll be back. We're going to finish this up in just a moment. It's a Witness Wednesday on Wretched Radio. So here's a question. Who's teaching your son what it means to be a man? Is it TikTok? His football coach? Some guy on a podcast who thinks masculinity means to never apologize? Well, here's the problem. Culture keeps handing men two options. Be a doormat or be a bulldozer. Soft or harsh, passive or angry. But scripture paints a different picture altogether. A man who's strong and gentle, leading with conviction and compassion. And that's why we created Gentle Man, a brand new video series with Todd Friel and Dr. John Krotz. It's streaming now on Fortis Plus. It's not macho, nor is it passive, but it's biblically strong and spiritually steady. New episodes are dropping every Monday on Fortis Plus. So download the Fortis Plus app on your smartphone, on your smart TV, or just simply go to fortisplus.org. Men don't guess at manhood. They learn it from God's Word. Gentleman, exclusively on Fortis Plus.
Is it possible a Christian university can actually be ranked high when it comes to preparing students for the real world? Hat tip to Masters University. You want to send your kids someplace where they actually still teach the Bible? Not just based on a document that they maybe have in a file cabinet someplace, but they actually use the Bible there. The education at the Masters University, not only biblical, but oh so practical. Courses, diplomas, degrees, they can be achieved online or, of course, on their beautiful campus in Southern California. Would you like to learn more about the Masters University to prepare you or your child for the future? I encourage you to visit masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
Let's be honest. You've earned your PhD in couch sitting. You know exactly which cushion has the perfect amount of give. You memorize where the remote lands when you toss it. You are a professional. Well, congratulations. Your expertise just became holy ground. Fortis Plus has officially arrived on your TV. That's right. Your sanctuary of relaxation is now an actual sanctuary. Stream biblical truth without moving a muscle, except maybe your thumb on the remote. Every single resource Fortis Plus produces is now available on that beautiful big screen you justified buying because, well, it was on sale, honey. From your phone to now on your Roku, Samsung, LG, Apple TV. Basically, if it has a screen and an internet connection, Fortis Plus is there. It's free to download the app. It's free to stream all of our content, funded by gospel partners who believe your couch time should count for eternity. Go ahead, stay seated, but download Fortis Plus first, because your couch just got promoted.
Attributes of God. God is omniscient, meaning he knows all things. He knows all things past, present, and future. God does not learn new information, and nothing takes him by surprise. He knows what will happen and is working all things for his glory and the good of those who love him. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And we are back to Witness Wednesday here on Wretched Radio. You don't need to hear much from me. Let's get back out to Todd on the campus of Oklahoma State University.
Why should you become a Christian? Is it because you're afraid of hell? Well, you should be afraid of hell, but that shouldn't be the primary motivator. You should become a Christian because Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, stooped, made a way for you to be made right with God, to escape hell. In other words, it should be the kindness of God that leads you to repentance. You should see this Jesus Christ and go, I want him. I want to follow him. I want to live for him. I want to die for him. Why? Because he lived and he died for me, and he's the best thing in the universe. And then when people come along with accusations, you can study them all that you want, but you're never going to let him go because he's never going to let go of you. And you're not going to want to. Christianity isn't about rule keeping. It's about your heart. The Bible describes your heart, not just as the ticker inside of here. It's the totality of you. It's your mind, if you will. It's not your brain. It's your inner person. It's your soul. It's your spirit. It's the totality of what makes you, you. Jesus wants that. And he died to redeem that so that you can be with him and the Father forever in eternity. May I ask you this question? What is not to love about a king like that? What is not to love about a king like that? If you've deconstructed your Christian faith, let me ask you, did you deconstruct that? Or did you perhaps use a windmill and deconstruct that? There's one last aspect. Then we're going to questions. False gospel responses. There's a good chance that you've deconstructed your Christian faith, if you have, because you didn't respond rightly to the gospel. In other words, you didn't really become a Christian. Jesus talked about this actually constantly. Jesus talked about true religion and false religion. He denounced that external conformity, that pious walking around in the marketplace, looking all long-faced because you're fasting and looking religious so that people will think you're pretty amazing. He denounced that because he wants our hearts. He wants us to submit totally to him, because in submitting to the king, that is when you find liberty. That is when he sets you free from sin. You don't have to sin anymore. You probably will, but you don't have to. Set you free from the power of the devil, set you free from eternal damnation, set you free from shame and guilt, fear of man, regrets, all of it. He just sets you free from that. And the response to that good news is that you repent and put your trust in Jesus Christ. And maybe you've deconstructed your faith because you didn't actually have a genuine faith, because you were what Jesus called either a wise virgin or a foolish virgin, a wheat or a tare, a good fish, a rotten fish, a sheep or a goat. In other words, there's true and false converts. And perhaps if you've deconstructed your faith, it's because you weren't a true convert, because you didn't respond to the gospel rightly. Maybe you've heard these things. Ask Jesus into your heart. It's not like there's no truth in that, but we don't get saved by asking Jesus into our heart. Does Jesus come into our heart? Yes. The question, though, is how does he get in there? And the biblical answer is repentance and faith. You turn from your sins. You put your trust in Jesus Christ. That's how you actually become a Christian. You don't make Jesus your Lord and Savior. He already is. He just says, bend the knee, repent, and put your trust in me. So all of these different sayings that we use in evangelical Christianity, if you were never commanded to repent and believe the gospel of Jesus Christ, that would be a pretty good indicator you're a false convert and you were never a Christian to begin with. So ask yourself the question, if you're thinking about deconstructing and you're trying to be thoughtful and work through this, ask yourself the question, how did you become a Christian? Do you remember being born again, dying to self and being made alive in Christ? If not, that could be why you're wobbly in your Christian faith, because you don't actually possess one. So that's my presentation on deconstruction and the rejection of Christianity and why you should rethink Christianity. So now the ball is in your court. Thank you for your patience in listening to that. I guess it was pretty close to a sermon. Thank you for listening to that. Who's got questions?
My question is, how can one develop a meaningful relationship with God if we are mainly just talking to him through prayer and reading about him through the Bible?
Just talking to God, just reading about him in the Bible? Dude, we get to know the mind of God. That's how you would see it. How do you develop more of an intimate relationship? Is that kind of the core of your question?
Yeah. Can I give like an example? Like,
sure.
Because if I were to write letters to the White House, And sometimes I get a response back, but it's like a boilerplate
copy-paste
sort of thing.
Sure.
And like, I can kind of see like how policy decisions are affecting my day-to-day life.
Yeah.
I'm not 100% sure it's related. There's no relationship between me and the president.
Mm-hmm. You're right.
It's just me talking to him. He's doing stuff that affects me.
Yeah.
How can we know that that's different than how God is treating
us? You're right. The president, he knows that, he maybe knows if he goes to the Social Security Department to discover that you're a citizen in his realm. That's not what King Jesus is like. It's not what he's like. He does know you. He knows your name. Do you know how many hairs you have on top of your head? He does. He knows how many are in your hairbrush at home. He knows about your laundry situation and that you had to wear that orange shirt that doesn't quite match the OSU colors, but he knows all of that. So you might feel distant, but you're not. He's near. He's God with us. He's Emmanuel. Our God is an intimate God. He's a relational God. He does know you. So when you're talking to him, you always get an answer to prayer. It might be no. It might be later. It might be absolutely, I'm going to do that. But you always get an answer because he always hears your prayers because of Jesus Christ. So your relationship, in order to get it where it feels more personal, is, I would ask you, are you listening to sermons and preaching that extols the goodness of God in all aspects? And I'm even talking about wrath and terror, all of these, I'm not dismissing any of his attributes or actions. But are you studying to know him? Are you listening to sermons that warm your heart to understand that this is the king who cares? This is the liberating king. This is the involved king. This is the king who knows my name. And this is what I'm going to close on for you. And then you can take this and perhaps rework how you're praying and how you're studying. There's Romans 2:17. This is where we're going to close. You take a seat, dude. I'm going to answer your question. But this is the wrap up for everybody to consider. And this is the point that I'd like to leave with you and the sentiment that I'd like to leave ringing in your ears. There's a picture in Revelation 2:17. When you get to heaven, the king is not only going to serve you and serve you a banquet that he's prepared, he's going to give you a white stone with your name on it. And you're thinking, well, that, I get that, like when we take a trip to Wyoming and you get your name on a rock, that doesn't seem like a big deal. No, that's not what's going on here. He's not going to give you your name like Brandon or Kelly. He's going to give you your name. He's going to give you a name that you are going to read and go, that's it. That's who I am. This is me. That's like completely, totally describes who I am. Who could know this but the one who knows you intimately? That's your king. That's your savior. And if you're feeling distant, you're not. It's just that you're not appreciating who he is. You're not studying for what he does, what he has done, and what he is going to do for you. And you need to know that he's the God who knows you and cares about you. And he's going to give you a new name. And everything that you've ever longed for will be fulfilled when you meet King Jesus. When Jesus Christ returns and he touches down on the mountain and you get to see him, he is going to take your breath away. You are going, This is, I've been in the Shadowlands. This is what I've been, every beautiful piece of music, it's cacophony. This is the symphony. The field of flowers, they were nice. No, this is the essence of beauty. This is the king and all of his beauty. This is the one that my heart has been longing for. Finally, I'm over the hill. It's no longer a shadow. King Jesus is a reality. And he is beautiful and he's transcendent. And he will fulfill the longing of your heart because he is the longing of your heart. Everything we seek to satisfy our hearts is a craving for King Jesus. So seek him. Read about him in his word. Talk to him as regularly as you can. Listen to preaching that makes sure that it's filling your head with knowledge so that it fills your heart with warmth for a Savior who knows your name and cares. And that's why when you pray, you need to know his invitation. You cast your cares upon me because he cares for you. You're right. Donald Trump doesn't know your name. King Charles doesn't really care about the servants in his kingdom, but Jesus Christ does. My last sentence is a question. What is not to love about a king like that?
Amen. What is not to love about a king like that? Yes, indeed. Hey, thank you so much for being patient with me today as I interrupted Todd more times than any of us wanted me to. But listen, I thought that was such a worthwhile presentation to hear on the topic of deconstructionism. We will have more from some campus somewhere next week. I don't know exactly where we're going to be going, but come back and we'll find out together. This has been Witness Wednesday on Wretched Radio. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.